last call for glory, last stand for pride. One more season till we flip the ride. You want the throne, you gotta earn that ring. Let's see who wears it when we crown the king. This is game day. Mike's hot. Let's ride. Snap back to the action. Cleats in the turf. Blood in the dirt. Now tell me what it's worth. Jiggy got two. Buck Nuts got one. But the field's full of sharks and they smell that run. Coaches talk big. Fans scream loud. But only one team gets to stand that proud. Game of the week. Yeah, we circle it red. Legends get born and the weak play dead. Live from the booth. We break it all down. Game of the week, who's taking the crown? Boom! Lights on, helmets crash. Last dance, one shot, make it last. Crowns don't wait for the timid or soft. If you ain't built for war, better walk off. Boom! That's pop bands get loud. Marching the history, chasing that crown. Who's got the heart? Who's got the grit? This is season 32. This is it, this is game day. Where the stories get told. One last run before this version folds. Scripts here, just fate and fight. No second chances on Saturday night. Pick your poison, run that play. Every dog got bark till you bring that pain. This ain't no story, it's live on the set. Where the field gets wet from the blood and sweat. So line them up, coaches, stars, the elite. Who's taking this crown? Who's tasting defeat?
The countdown's over.
Final chapter to write. Will it be Jiggy? Will it be Buck Nut? Or will the whole damn field rise up and ignite?
What's everyone doing on a Saturday morning? Big day, college football game day. Reveal for the NDL this weekend. I'm here with Penguin and Pat. How are you doing today, boys?
Morning. Pretty good.
Morning.
Man, Penguin, you had your big, your family, you and your wife bought a bookstore, and you guys had your big grand opening yesterday. How was that?
Chaotic. It's a small town area, but we easily had probably about 200 people there at the beginning, and thankfully the fire marshal was not among them. That or is very cool because you couldn't move for probably the first hour and people, you know, and the whole fun stuff and stayed kind of busy through the rest of the day. So it was a fun time. It was a dream come true for the wife for sure.
Man, I tried to call the bookstore yesterday and it was busy.
Yeah. That'd probably be because the phone was off the hook in my father-in-law's pocket for about 3 hours. That's him being helpful. I'm sure you could feel my air quotes there.
Oh, that was a good story that we heard yesterday. Pat, what are you doing this weekend? Any big activities? Hey, I saw the Savannah Bananas over in your area.
You won't find me at a banana game, but one of my former players that I coached in California lives in Charlotte, so we're getting dinner. So that'll be cool. And then tomorrow, nothing. But I do want to tell a quick story. Do I have 60 seconds?
Yeah. You got.
So this is our last show of the year. So I just want to tell a quick story. Tim one time asked me on Discord to play a scrimmage game in season 29. And I remember he was Texas State and I was Middle Tennessee. And I didn't pay attention to the game at all. We just chatted and he came up with this really cool game day idea. And, you know, I was just sitting there listening and I was like, wow, this is a really cool idea. And he made this all come together. This was all his idea, and I just want to extend like a very warm thank you in front of the listeners that you came up with a really cool idea. Penguin, you being on set, have you ever missed a show, by the way?
I think I missed one.
You are an awesome interviewer and awesome to listen to, and I just wanted to thank both you guys in front of the biggest audience we can. Not quite the million viewers that BBB gets, but we try. So Tim, just great idea, and I can't believe we're still here today. So that's it. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the kind words. It gives me goosebumps and stuff. I really enjoy, we were talking about this in our little chat that we have. We really enjoy our Saturday mornings. I enjoy spending it with the NDL. It's a great way for me to kind of wind down from the weekend, talk about the NDL, and I just came up with a little idea, and I was able to get a couple guys that wanted to do it with me and run with me. And a big shout out goes out to Holmey and Nidler. They did a lot of stuff with me with the OBS and learning how to stream and stuff like that, because I didn't know how to do any of that. And so game day's been a lot of fun. We appreciate you guys getting up in the morning and chatting with us and stuff. So, we did miss a show. Collectively, I have missed one show this season. That was at the Endale convention. I know we had a lot of excited people. Phony was probably the most excited there to do the show. It was funny because the whole weekend Pat was like, man, we probably shouldn't do a show. Like all night Friday, we probably shouldn't do a show tomorrow. And I'm like, no, we could do it. It'll be fun. And when the actually time came, Penguin's porcelain hugging of the toilet in my sleeping would not have worked.
The minute the beer bong came out, show was canceled. It should have just been right yeah, then and right. there.
It's we'll chalk that up as to whoever our social media guy for the convention was. He should have put breaking news: the convention or the game day show has been canceled. But. No, we appreciate it. Lots of fun. We got a couple good guests on the show. We'll bring them in a little bit. We have Coach Vic and Coach Drew Baca. Both were on the College Football Playoff Committee, tasked with finding the best 12 teams, best 15 teams in the NDL this season. And we'll be able to visit with them a little bit about that process and who they are. I guess first, the first thing we'll talk about is what we talk about every morning. The polls come out. They aren't the final polls. There'll be one poll after all the college football playoff and bowl games are completed. But just bringing up the polls here, just quick oversight here, Pat. What do you think about the polls, how things shook out? What do you think the top five? I know yours would change, your top five probably.
Yeah, we're talking about the coaches poll you said, right?
Yeah, correct.
The coaches poll, I think, actually looks a lot better than it has. Minus, I would just move Oregon back behind Ole Miss and Texas. But because of the way the playoffs seeded, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? I think the order is a little off here. But other than that, like, it looks really good to me. I think it's awesome that you've got a mid-major in the top 10. I think it's been a while. I don't think Old Dominion got that high last year, so that's impressive. And then we'll see how the chips fall in the bracket. I think I would have definitely had Tennessee higher, but we'll talk about that later. And yeah, that's it.
What about you, Penguin? How does your top 25 shake out compared to how the NDL's top 25 look?
It's pretty, it's pretty similar. I would agree. I would definitely had Oregon back a few more spots now that the dust has settled. I mean, they had a good performance in their conference championship game. I think FAU's in a good spot. I would have expected maybe a little bit more love for team like Central Michigan than they got. While I didn't expect them, to be necessarily be sniffing playoff contention, I thought they would be just outside. So to see them another couple notches back surprised me. But other than that, see that they, kept teams like BC in, acknowledge their good season. And I see you got North Carolina and Miami set the ACC, despite that tumultuous end to the season, has pretty decent representation.
BC beat me again. I don't understand why he's behind me, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Pat, when I was initially voting, a lot of times at the bottom, I go and I'll start slotting teams in so I don't forget them. And at first, I had Boston College behind you. But then, obviously, when I get closer to it, that was the first thing I thought of is obviously you two played each other.
Yeah,
I think, I remember at the beginning of the season, we had, I think Coach Ank was on, and we really grilled him about his voting on the top 25. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that episode helped, but when you look at the end of the season and you look at our media poll, which is people that are consumed by the NDL, I mean, we watch a lot of games, and it's almost a direct reflection of the NDL's top 25. Some of the teams are mixed around, but it's all the same teams. And so it's almost like, we talk about how bad the people vote in the NDL, but really at the very end of the season, it looks like it all kind of came together.
Yeah.
For a league-wide as a whole.
The way I vote will be a little different than someone else now that, you know, we're four seasons into this thing. I lay a team out there, and then I think, hey, can he beat these other teams, like, one-on-one? So it's more of like a coach thing, whereas, like, when you make the playoff committee, you can't vote like that. So that's why this will be different at times than the playoff. So it's kind of, you know, I wish the top 25 was a little more relevant in some kind of way at the end of the season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because once the top, like right now, the poll doesn't really affect anything. You don't get any more points or anything like that.
Right.
For the games being played, right? Like your bowl game. I think it would be cool to see some of the bonus points if they went down next year where you didn't have so many bonus points for beating teams on the road. But when you play that bowl game, I think if you beat a ranked team, that should count for maybe an extra point or something like that. Like you said, Pat, because then still puts a little bit of weight on these polls because they really don't mean anything now. Other than just, you know, seeing your team up on the top 25, which is always cool. Right.
Talking points.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, for our media shows. Well, I guess, I mean, we know why everybody's here this morning and stuff, and so we'll jump right into it. We'll just get to the college football reveal. You guys, Pat and Penguin, you guys let me know what numbers you want to see first because we can mix it around. We have top 15 teams from the college football playoff committee. So I don't know if you want to do like the top 10 and then we can work our way from the 15 to 11.
Do we want to ask the audience maybe what they would want?
What would you guys want? Would you want to see the top 10 first or do you want to see what numbers do you want to see first?
Oh, I see a lot of typing. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
My opinion would be to reveal the top four first.
Agree.
And then there, yeah.
Because the top four is most obvious, pretty much.
CG, if you start with 12 and go 11, 10, you're going to already know, like, the top 10 is pretty set, or at least the top eight is pretty set. And so I think most people want to know. There we go. So what do you guys think? What do you think the collective chat says to do?
I think we just make them wait another week and we have another show next Saturday.
Get them all to tune back in next Saturday. I like that.
Yep. Blue balls the entire league.
Yeah. Oh, dang. It doesn't work. Sorry, guys. Decane says you're fired, Penguin.
Oh, well, I guess I'm on one less show now. Okay. So I hear there's an opening for Inside the NDL now. Okay. Be sure to contact Kane.
So we'll just jump into, hey, remember, I want everyone to remember the rankings the seeding is different than the rankings. So I'll show you the seedings after we do the complete reveal. But right now we'll just go through the rankings. This is how the College Football Playoff Committee viewed the NDL season for these teams. The NDL College Football ranking number one goes to Alabama Crimson Tide. Coach D. Kennedy over there with a big upset. A big win over Ole Miss in the SEC championship game.
Decisive win.
Seed. Yes, correct. What are your thoughts on that, Pat?
Oh, easy breezy. Should be you win the number one conference in our league handily, like Penguin just said. It's a no-brainer.
And the number two team is the Clemson Tigers. Went 13-0 and won the ACC. Here is the... I mean, that's probably a no-brainer either. Pat, you played in the ACC. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the ACC played strong this year. I do know that his schedule also may not have been incredibly strong, but obviously the win over Vegas at the end of the year, which was awesome that those two scheduled each other. Obviously, great barrier to entry for him, right? Like, he won that game also convincingly.
Absolutely.
Right. What are your thoughts, Penguin?
Yeah, I just got to echo that. I think Clemson did us all a favor by being willing to schedule a game like that and made this, you know, run the table, you win a game like that. I mean, obviously it's going to be hard to top a dominant team in the SEC, but I mean, he did everything he could for a team not in the SEC pretty much to deserve a chance for one of the very top seeds, if not the top one.
And, I mean, we got the Heisman winner on that team too, so that's exciting. You know, like it'll be fun to see how they defend him in the playoff.
Yeah, we got a little bit of taste of that last night in the Beefy Cup. We don't talk about the Beefy Cup a lot, but
did y'all lose me?
I nope, you're there. You.
Penguin, are you there? Did we lose you?
He'll be back.
Yeah, we'll move on to the number three ranked team by the College Football Playoff Committee is the Ole Miss Rebels. I mean, no shocker to me there. Ole Miss at number three. I think you could make an argument they could have been number two. Ole Miss number three, obviously they can't be one of those top four seeds when it comes to the seeding of the playoffs. But, Pat, any shocker there, them being ahead of some of the other conference champions?
Nope, not a huge punishment for losing your conference championship game. And then if he does win the conference championship game, he's the overwhelming one seed, so it makes sense.
Penguin, you back?
Yeah, I would agree. He definitely deserves to still be up there. Could have made a case for two if the SEC game had been a little more tight, but still, he belongs in that top five for sure.
Tim, it is the argument that is it a good thing to win that conference championship game? Maybe you get an easier team in the opening round after, you know, winning your home game that you get to host.
Yeah, and it'll be exciting to see how the bracket plays out. And we may see that very argument take place. Number four ranked team in the NDL CFP is the Texas Longhorns. Coach Jiggy over there, 11-1. Not a lot of people I've not heard from a lot of people's mouth that Texas had a legitimate shot to win the college football championship. That Texas roster is loaded. And so it'll be exciting to see how Texas competes in the college football playoff. Is that any shocker to see Texas over a team like Oregon that went undefeated?
Absolutely not.
No.
Number five ranked team in the CFP is going to be your Colorado Buffaloes. Coach Andy over there, Big 12 champion, 12-1 record. Penguin, you played over there in the Big 12. Does that surprise you seeing them at the five seed?
No. At the end of the day, they had a pretty strong schedule for the most part, and they took care of business. They had a couple close calls, but in the end, you know, you win 12 games. I think they're in a well-deserved spot there.
We'll go down. How far should I go down? Should I just go down to the eighth team and then go back up?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, the top eight's pretty, you know, obvious, but yes.
Yeah. So the number six team is your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Coach Rain, 11-1, with a big marquee win over, who is his loss to again?
Pat, Georgia, first game of the season.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yep. The game we picked him to win. Yeah. I think all of them.
Yeah, we picked against Coach Decane, and he's shown us on College Game Day why that's a bad decision. So you got Notre Dame at six. The number seven team is the Oregon Ducks, 13-0. I bet when the game came out, so four seasons ago, no one would ever say if an Oregon team went undefeated, they would be the seven seed. Pat, explain why they are the seven seed.
Yeah, just dominoes in that conference fell weird this year. Oregon doesn't play USC or Northwestern. Northwestern doesn't play USC. or you know, like it's just none of them play each other. And then the best overall rated team in the entire conference just bows out. And that's what causes that to happen.
Yeah, definitely a perfect storm of some that Oregon definitely could have done to help themselves, but then, sure, at the end of the day, there were definitely things that were out of their control that conspired against them as well. Just thank God for their sake that they finished undefeated and the committee didn't have to debate whether or not they deserved to be in there at all.
I heard Shell's interview with you guys, Penguin, and a nice follow-up question would have been, hey, can't you just play your friends in the non-conference just in a scrim? Like, why do you have to always play them in the season? It's a good question. Interesting.
I think he likes that those free wins. I think.
I'll call a spade a spade.
And I mean, I'm sure Shell plays in some type of online dynasty with friends. But does he get to play those same friends in those online dynasties?
Yeah. Anyway, but
I know. So, yeah, right there, Rain says it. Good. He wants good coaching reports, not that unknown gameplay, which is very true. We've talked about that. But we also talked about at some point that is going to penalize you if those players that you're playing have subpar seasons. The number eight team in the college football playoff is your Florida Atlantic Owls. Pat mentioned it earlier, seeing a top 10 team, mid-major team in our top 25 poll was pretty amazing. I think it may be the first time that we've seen that since the new release of the game. What are your guys' thoughts on Florida Atlantic? Are they too low?
No. Oh, go ahead, Penguin.
Yeah, no, they're not too low. I mean, there's a large gap in the level of talent on those rosters. So, still super impressive season, deserved to be there. But I mean, I think there's some mental gymnastics required to really think they should be higher than that at this point.
Resume wise, remember that's what they're ranking off of. I think he's where he needs to be. Resume wise, I think though, you know, not resume wise and just team overall, that kind of thing, would definitely be an underdog. He'll probably be an underdog in his playoff game, but congrats to him. Just another great player we've added that's probably going to have a great team next season. It'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, I think Andy's little calculations for over-under, I would probably put any of the teams he's going to face in the CFP, he's probably going to be a 40-point underdog, at least 40-plus-point underdog.
A 40-point violation in
we've seen some pretty crazy scores in there because it doesn't calculate the 35 point rule or the 36 point rule.
I think I've watched him play. I think he'll score points on a lot of teams, seriously.
Yeah,
guy can throw the ball.
Yep, he scored 71 points this season in a 2-point win over East Carolina.
I haven't seen a better player in the pocket than him in the last few seasons, like with the quarterback. Have you watched him play? He hangs in there. Yeah.
His quarterback can sling it. And so we'll jump down here to the 15th team. The 15th team is the USC Trojans, Pat's favorite real life team. Coach Texanol with a great season there, 10-2. Pat, does that sting a little bit, or is it kind of cool seeing them in the top 15?
Oh, it's always good to see them there because they may never venture down that way ever again, it feels like, in real life. So, good to see them. How about Texanol? We talk about it a lot, but what an improved player. Just another outstanding season, and congrats to him on playing with a really fun team. Zachariah Branch, huge season. Always glad to see the Trojans doing well.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to 9. This is just that word from Homie. Homie wants us to just scroll straight down for good talking points. And so we know USC's out. We'll go for the next team that's in, the number 9 team, the NDL CFP ranking, is your Missouri Tigers. 11-1 this season, Coach MJ Kemp. A lot said he skipped and missed out on a lot of the better SEC teams, but he put together an 11-1 season in the toughest conference in the NDL. Do you guys think that that's too high or too low or right around where he should have been?
I mean, it's tight. It's apples and oranges, really, with that rating. I think, Missouri beats FAU in a game head-to-head, but that's not what they rated on. He's about where he needs to be. Like you said, he does avoid a ton of tough games in the SEC.
Yeah. No, I mean, even though they didn't play everyone, they gave a good accounting to themselves every time out, and they won, 11 games? So, yeah, I don't think there can be any complaints about where they ended up.
Lost to our number 1 overall team, I believe, by a 2-point conversion or something like that, right?
Yeah, at the end of
that
the game,
was a very competitive game.
Yep. Yeah.
38-37 against our Alabama, the SEC champion.
Yeah.
And then he was able to beat Oklahoma, which obviously was a big game for him. That was probably a playoff game for him, and he came out and kind of handled business in that game. So it'll be really interesting. Also, we talk about Clemson with a great ground game. I'm sure his running back there was probably right there in the Heisman voting.
If he were on the ballot.
He wasn't on the Heisman ballot. He's on all the other running back ballots. But
yeah.
I think that was Vic's big guy all season and his little Heisman stuff that he put out. The number 10 team here in the NDL College Football Playoff is your LSU Tigers. Obviously, Coach Bucknut's a former champ in the game. And I think he's won. He didn't he pull the trifecta? Didn't he win both of them last year, the Beefy Cup and the championship?
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Coach LSU, or Coach Bucknut with LSU there at 10-2 in the SEC. Kind of a down season, many would probably say. Do you think he's right about where he should be, Pat, or do you think he should have been a little lower?
Again, maybe resume is where he's at, but I mean, I think he beats Missouri and Florida Atlantic, but that's not what they're rating. So he's right where he would be if you're looking at a resume of just a team, yeah. No coach, nothing. Just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did, at the end of the day, only play three ranked opponents, technically, even though the SEC, but he did a good count, and he dispatched the Gators, who were a fringe playoff team all season as well.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to the Missouri thing, I think Missouri probably should have been above Florida Atlantic, only just based upon the resume alone. But I do think that LSU's about where they should have been, around that 10 or 11 mark, mainly for the same things you just said, Pat. Penguin, is his big win was the Florida win, who is a fringe playoff team. Even with five losses, his resume still looks pretty good. I would never put a five-loss team in. It'd be really interesting to see if he can make a run here. Out of all the teams that are going to be these lower seeds, he's probably the one I'd want to face the least. The most experience with his team, had a lot of success with his team, and so he's probably the guy that I would want to face the least if I was a higher seed here in the college football.
Yep. You also got to think for a returning champ. Could a returning champ have any more to prove than he does, sitting there with those two losses and behind all these people? So, I mean, if they needed any motivation, you got to think they have it there.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, is he will have to go on the road, I'm assuming, right? The first game?
Yeah. And so I'm not sure if it's a neutral site game.
No, the opening game's home team's host.
Home game, yeah. So he would.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, at least you're not playing in Death Valley.
I'm pretty sure he has the number one at home field advantage in the entire game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so you do take that away from him a little bit. And obviously in years past, he's had that to his benefit. Not really, because he's always had a bye, I think.
Right.
But we'll go down. We're going to go back down here. We're just following homie's recommendation here. We're going to go back from the bottom to the top now. And that'll kind of round us out to the last two teams that are in the college football playoff. So the second team out in our college football playoff is your Northwestern Wildcats. Coach Tutty over there at 11-1. Same scenario as we talked about with Missouri. Did avoid a lot of the better teams in his conference and did not play in his conference championship game. What are your thoughts here, Penguin?
I think it's bullshit. I think it's an absolute travesty to win 11 games in a group of five conference and to be out. In favor of, I mean, teams for certain with more than one loss who didn't make their conference championship game as well.
So just a little, and I didn't know this until this morning when I was doing some research on win losses and opponent records. And I know we take that at face value, but out of the worst 10 schedules in the whole nation, Northwestern is right behind Oregon at like 5-6 for the worst schedules for opponent records. His opponents won 53 games. I think Oregon was like 52. And so I wonder if that played some of the factor for the Northwestern team.
Seems likely.
Yeah, they didn't play any ranked opponents throughout the entire season right now, any that are ranked right now. Obviously, their big marquee loss is to Iowa. And they lost big, 38-8, and then Iowa obviously just got stomped by Oregon. And so I'm going to guess some of that played a factor. Pat, what are your thoughts on Northwestern not making it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but there's talk in the chat, and it's been going on for weeks. It's just a perfect storm of just it being so far down. It's just not very good. The Big Ten championship game, which again we do have to watch the games a little bit, was a total stinker of a game. let's be honest. And, you know, that's the best that they could throw out there against Oregon. Not pretty. And if you lose to that Iowa team by that, you're out, in my opinion. Quarterback or not, you know, that's on you. Don't break the rules.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The Ohio State thing, too, is huge. The Ohio State obviously didn't do them any favors in the Big Ten. Obviously, going 0-12 doesn't help. And then all the other teams kind of have a subpar season and his out-of-conference schedule. And for face value, we would have said Coach Metro DU is a great coach, had lots of success, been in the college football playoff when he was in the SEC. It takes over at Stanford, and many thought that that would probably be a pretty good matchup, right? Northwestern, Stanford, out of conference. Northwestern played at home. He ends up winning by 10, and then Coach Metro T goes 5-7 at Stanford. So that doesn't, obviously a subpar season for him. That's his worst season since joining the NDL. So we'll move on to the number 13 team in the NDL college football playoff ranking, and this is the first team out. And so it's going to be your Tennessee Volunteers. Coach Vegas put together a 9-3 season there at Tennessee. Oh, many said that game against Clemson was a college football playoff game for him. And it kind of, I mean, Pat, you brought it up with the Big Ten championship game. That game felt like a championship game. Lots of eyes on the game, and that was an egg of a game. That it was bad. Tennessee didn't look like they had any fight left in them, and I'm not sure if it was just the toll of the long season. But what are your guys' thoughts on Tennessee being out?
I'd say it is correct. At the end of the day, their schedule featured three teams that are ranked presently, and those are the three games they lost. You know, you got to pass one of those tests to really have a good argument when you have that many losses, and they didn't pass any of those, so they don't belong in.
Yeah, I disagreed with it at first, but then when you dive deeper into the actual data of everything, it actually makes sense, him at 13, now that I've had a little time to process it, because I think Tennessee would beat these next two teams that are coming out on the field to play, but that's just not what they're ranking. Tim had to remind me of that, and I was on the damn committee, because when you first see it, you're like, what? Yeah, I will continue my point further when the next two teams are shown.
So your last team in the college football playoff, your number 12 team, is your Utah Utes. Coach Marion County over there at 10-2 on the season in the Big 12. Penguin, you play in the Big 12. Give us some insight of Utah being the last team in.
I think they belong as a fringe team. You know, they're definitely a very tough opponent. Could have, you know, I mean, the two games they did drop, they were in at least one of them. And, you know, I can see a case being made for them. But much like Tennessee, end of the day, two ranked teams lost to both of them. So, got to circle back for a second and touch on the way we judge a team like Northwestern. They all, you know, these three teams all have in common no wins over ranked opponents. So, got to help but think, you know, that part of this has to do with people truly looking at it and saying, despite the fact we're not going, you know, would this team beat that team? Certainly seems like that is a factor in how these decisions are made to a degree.
Utah's the weird team for me. I think Tennessee today would beat them in a neutral game. They're, like Penguin said, they're two ranked wins to end the season, too. I always like a team that's playing well at the end of the season. Lost two in a row. Did not look good against Iowa State. Iowa State, in my opinion, kind of dominated the entire game from start to finish, really. And, yeah, I think Tennessee would beat Utah, but that's not what they have to look at. So they obviously put a lot of weight into the Big 12 this year. The Big 12, sneaky good conference at the top this year, though, should definitely be pointed out. Their top five teams in there. Steamroller's a good player. Like, he's very good. And, you know, getting a win over him, which you'll see here coming up, will get you in.
So I had a hard time with Utah one. I think this is, you know, I Drew's on here and Vic's on here, and so I don't mean this in any harm, but a little bit of harm. I think this was their biggest swing and miss in the college football playoff. And the reason being is Utah couldn't beat a team that played in the Big 12 championship game. And Pat, you touched on it. The game wasn't close. Iowa State beats Utah, plays in their championship game. They lose to arguably what obviously the committee put as a top four team in Colorado. And you left Utah, you left Iowa State out with four losses. Understand it, but you can't put Utah in then. Because Iowa State beat Utah. Utah doesn't have, a margin.
I have to take and accept the level of blame. We laid an egg versus Kansas State.
I know.
Had we won that game, we'd have an argument, but we screwed the pooch and we, you know, we got what we deserved.
But what I'm getting at is that if you're going to leave Tennessee out, who plays in the arguably the toughest conference in the NDL with three losses, how do you put in a Utah team that I know they only have two losses, but they don't have a single marquee win, and they lost to a team that played in their conference championship? And so I just
they have, Tim, they have the same conference record as Tennessee. Just take it like this, okay? Same conference record as Tennessee. Tennessee in a way harder league. And Tennessee has that Clemson game. So he's like challenging himself. Now is this going to make people not want to go out and challenge themselves? Because basically scheduling Clemson instead of, I don't know,
Minnesota.
Yeah, sure. Any Utah just not State. Very. Yeah. Or, you know, one of his friends or whatever people do. They then, you know, that's crazy to me that, you know, that it sounds like he got punished for the Clemson game, Tennessee.
Yeah, I just I think this was their biggest swing and miss was Utah. We'll go to the next team. We got people asking questions. People kind of already know who's in. Arguably back to the Utah thing, only because I'm seeing the chat now, is I would have put Tennessee, Northwestern, or USC in over Utah. Because you left Iowa State out, which has four losses, which the Penguins already addressed that. But I just don't see how you put a Utah team in that couldn't beat a team that played in their championship game. And I would say the same for Northwestern. I wouldn't vote Northwestern in because of the same scenario. But here we go. The number 11 team is your Texas Tech Red Raiders. Coach Wild's over there putting together a wonderful season out there. I think that this was a no-brainer when I looked at the resume. I was talking yesterday in even on PTD, I mentioned that Texas Tech would be in because their resume, when I went and looked at it, is actually a very good resume. And what are your thoughts here, Penguin, with you being in the same conference?
Well, I think if we'd had chaos like a lot of us had hoped for in the conference championship games, Texas Tech would have been a, I don't know, maybe not. But given that there wasn't, like you said, it's definitely a no-brainer. Their schedule, at the end of the day, features three ranked teams. They won a tough game against Cincinnati. They frankly kicked our asses, and they were right there with Colorado in that game. That was a slugfest. So they definitely belong, and I think I think this is a team to not only belongs. I think this is a good wild card to look at in the playoffs, depending on how the draws work out of someone who you don't necessarily want to play.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Pat, on Texas Tech making it?
In my opinion, should have been the last team in, Tennessee in front of him. That's just the way I would look at it or have argued it if I was on the committee. He should definitely be in when you really look at it. He won his ranked games. Like, he won tough games when he was supposed to. So we need to reward that, and they did. So if you're looking at a resume, you look at those two ranked wins. You hate to see two sim wins on the schedule, but both against teams that are not that great, but you always wanted to play out on the field. But at Cincinnati, and then like Penguin said, at home against Iowa State, and convincingly he should be the 12 seed, but 11 works.
And so this is kind of how it all shakes out. Obviously you guys can see it here on the screen. Notre Dame is, I'm just going to start from left to right. Actually, I'll make it easier, because if I do that, it's going to confuse people that are just listening. So Alabama, the number one overall seed, they're going to have a bye. They'll play the winner of the Missouri-Florida Atlantic game, which will be interesting because that game is played at home in Florida, which is going to negate any SEC home field advantage that Missouri would have, which can be a big deal. And what are your guys' thoughts on that matchups? Well, actually, here, let's do this. Let's back up. We see the playoff seeding. Everybody can see the playoff seeding. Let's bring in a committee member before we start talking about the matchups. If you guys are cool with that.
Yes, sir.
Which one do you want to bring in first? Because I never even asked which one needed to go somewhere, which one didn't. Vic, Drew Baca, which one of you two need to go first?
Vic can go.
There you go, Vic. Hey, Vic, how are you doing today? I know you're on a bunch of media shows and stuff, so everyone kind of knows your name and your voice. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Doing good. So did you get any sleep last night? What time were you guys up till?
We debated. I was ready for 90 minutes. We debated for a good 65 minutes. So we was up until we debated until after 10 o'clock.
11 o'clock Eastern time. Yeah, it depends on your time zone.
Depends on time zone, yeah.
And how many meetings did you guys have all season?
Three.
Okay. So, Vic, before we jump into the college football playoff, I'll just get some of the questions rolling. I know Pat and Penguin are going to jump in here, too. I just kind of find out a little bit about yourself first before we talk about the college football playoff. Is how do you come in contact with the league, the NDL, and what season did you join?
I joined in season 29, midway through season 29. I got in contact with the league just off of random Twitter search. And the first post was about the NDL. I looked at it. I said, fill out an application. That's interesting. I like interesting. So I filled out an application. Nittler contacted me through Discord, and I joined through the forum. I was in the forum for a little bit. And then once I had about 4 or 5 games in the forum, I got called up to the NDL midway through season 29.
Hey, Vic, how are you doing this morning?
I'm all right.
All right, all right. We've had a couple good games ourselves in the past, and this season, getting to be part of the committee, what would you, just to touch on that moment, what would you say is one of the tougher things to figure out in these seedings this year?
The toughest thing is resume, because we had a lot of easy schedules this year, people didn't challenge themselves and out of conference, so that kind of made it harder.
And Vic, I've been in the room before. What was the biggest debate? Which maybe seed took the longest to? Because I know how you guys vote on it and things like that. Which one took the longest?
The last bye. So the 7th seed of Oregon took the longest. We were debating off Oregon, FAU, and Missouri. That was the longest debate.
Gotcha.
So, Vic, you mentioned about the out-of-conference scheduling and how no one challenged themselves or anything. What about the Tennessee-Clemson matchup?
We took that in the hand. That's why Tennessee was the last team out. We took a part of that in the hand. We didn't knock him for that because he did challenge himself, unlike some of the other teams that are in the playoffs. So we took that very seriously.
Because, I'm going to ask some hard questions here. You said you guys didn't punish them for that out-of-conference matchup, but there's no way that you could tell me that there's a better three-loss team in the NDL than Tennessee. And so if they don't play Clemson and they play some other podunk school and take a win, they finish with two losses, and you still would have them out then?
Yeah. I wouldn't say I would have them out. It's kind of hard to put in a 3-loss team that's 6th or 7th in conference. In their own conference. But the SEC is a different breed of conference. So, I mean, it would have been a tough decision. I don't think he would have played necessarily an easier team. I think because Vegas has scheduled hard throughout his past seasons anyway. So I don't think he would have had like an easy win or automatic win if he didn't have Clemson there.
I mean, they lost to the number one and two team in the nation. And the number one and two seeds in the college football playoff committee. Those are their two losses that are both in one in conference. And then one is that out of conference matchup that you were talking about. Who is your guys' number two seed?
We did consider all that. Like the next longest debate was that 12 seed. We did debate that the longest. At one point Tennessee was in. And then we had other factors to go into it. And then once we considered everything, every criteria that was a part of the committee's list, Utah happened to come in.
So, Vic, explain to me, Justin, the team face-to-face matchup here. Why pick? We'll push Tennessee to the side for a moment here. Explain to me why Utah deserves to be in over Northwestern.
If we're saying who would be who, is that the question?
No, that is not the question. Okay. As my understanding, that is not part of the factors for how we determine this.
Okay. Go say the question one more time for me.
Why is Utah in versus Northwestern? If we're picking between these two teams, why is Utah in and not Northwestern?
Why is Utah in over Northwestern? Because when talking about it, they lost to an Iowa team by 30 points. And why they lost to an Iowa team is because they broke an NDL rule the previous game. And so where I'm thinking in my head, this is just my personal opinion, if that wouldn't have happened, Northwestern would have been undefeated and would have been in the playoff and in the Big Ten championship game. So the egg that he laid at Iowa did him in. And Ohio State, you know, bowing out as well, did him in.
So part of that just kind of logically seems to contradict itself to me. You're saying that Northwestern, who was serving a punishment in that game versus Iowa, lost that game badly, and that they're punished for that loss being bad when they were handicapped, even though it was, you know, their own fault that
it's
they were
their
being
own fault. Exactly. There you go. It's their own fault that they got punished.
It is their own fault they got punished. And that's why that game wasn't competitive. So you're still punishing them for that game not being competitive?
He punished himself.
I'm definitely drawing a very different conclusion and perspective with the way you're explaining it to me.
If we're gonna follow the NDA way, I mean that's a part of this too, as far as overall, like not playoffs or nothing like that, but overall as far as competition, if you break a rule, you get punished. Mm-hmm. He got punished.
And he did get punished. You're telling me you all punished him again.
How long? He got punished at the absolute wrong time, and he lost. Plus, he didn't play anybody. He has his strength of schedule is maybe worse, if not just slightly better than Oregon's. And Oregon's was horrible.
Okay. We talked about who they didn't play and whatnot. So we're rewarding teams who, when they did play good teams, lose those games, even though, I mean, playing a good schedule, should matter. But if you lose those games, how is that a positive?
Is Iowa a good team?
Iowa, I would call a good team. Not a great team, a good team. Look at you. My point is then going back to Utah. Look at Utah's schedule. The two arguably best teams they played, they lost to. They did not beat any good teams. Neither did Northwestern.
Exactly.
Vic, when you guys were talking, and I'll try to make sure that we that a lot of what you're saying is probably your opinion for the most part in the committee room, like how you viewed mm-hmm. things. What was your argument? Like, did you think Utah should have been in here? Is that what your thought process was, is that Utah should have been in here? Or did you think a different team deserved this 12th spot?
You're asking me personally?
Yes, correct. Yeah, yeah. Not the committee as a whole. I don't want you to speak for them.
Me personally, USC should have got there.
Okay. I just want to hear the argument for USC versus Utah. You're speaking to the committee right now. What was your pitch for USC being in?
Better strength of schedule, play better teams, has a ranked win, actually has a ranked road win at that. So that was my case for USC.
That's actually a good question there, Tim, that you asked, because that's something that other people don't take into account. Like, it's just, you know, that's why they're a committee, right? And not just, you know, they speak to each other. So, Vic, I'm going to transition just for 1 second. Did you enjoy being on the playoff? Was it different than you thought it would be? And would you do it again?
I would do it again, and I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I love the difference of opinions from everybody like that, and we can come together on the agreement of a team. I like the process.
Yeah, it's crazy. We went from a computer doing this the first season to now, you know, guys taking their own personal time. Look at that, on a Friday night last night, you guys rock. And it's definitely not easy. I definitely agree with Penguin and Tim. No offense to the committee, and you know, they can dig in more on it. But I think it's a little interesting that Utah gets in over Tennessee. But you guys probably looked at more data than I did. Than you know, when you're actually on the committee, you dig into the data
Pat,
more.
Trust me, Pat. At one time, Tennessee was that 12th spot. Trust me.
Yeah, it sounds like, and don't take this the wrong way, because I agree with it. It sounds like optically you guys didn't, it sounds like in the room we didn't want to have a 3-loss team in the playoff. Is that what I'm kind of grabbing from the situation?
That's what it seems like from everyone else in the committee. It was kind of hard putting in a 3-loss team over a 1-loss team, per se, in Northwestern, and those two quality 2-loss teams in USC and Utah.
Yeah, I get the optics of the 3-loss team. Like, hey, and Tim has said it in a different show once with us, or maybe it was last week. You know, he had his chances to beat those teams. So his season is like a playoff, and he lost 3 of them, so he shouldn't get in. He had 3 chances. So I understand that part of it.
Yeah, Vic, I like that explanation. And Pat, that's a great question to put in a little bit of context, is that I'm okay with the committee coming out and saying, or members of the committee speaking individually, coming out and saying, hey, you know, I had a really hard time putting a 3-loss team in there. I don't care who they lost to. Don't have a problem with that, really, because that puts more weight on your game, on your games in the season. And I like that. I think that's what we miss a little bit about the BCS era, is that there was so much weight on those regular season games, to where if you slipped up and lost to a Kansas or a Kansas State, right, Penguin, you talked about, like, that's your season. Like, I'll speak for my own, on my own behalf as a Washington State Cougar coach. When we lost to Big Z, who's a wonderful coach, great game, when we lost to them, we knew that was our season. Going into the very beginning of the season, we knew we needed to run the table to have any shot at the college football playoff. And so, even in the SEC, man, 3 losses has got to be that window. There's got to be a breaking point, because I said it on the show the other day. If you go look at Florida's resume and you just take out, and I know, Penguin, don't take out losses, but if you put your hand over their losses and you just look at their resume, they had a resume that's better than Tennessee, but they had more losses. But we obviously don't want to put a team in that has 4 or 5 losses in the college football playoff, because then we take away so much value for the regular season.
Tim, can I jump in and say one more quick thing that I meant to say? Hey, by the way, back to the playoff committee, guys. Like, this is what's so funny. When the playoff had 4 teams, the big debate was who the 4th team was. When they moved to 8 teams, the big argument is who the 8th team is. You move to 12 teams, people are going to argue who the last team in is. It's just the way. If you went to 16 teams, someone's going to be pissed off on who 17 is. Like, it's just the way playoffs work. So
I'm going to piggyback on that for a second and say, yeah, that is absolutely true and agree. And if we were talking, you know, let's say 4 or even 8 teams, yeah, I get a lot of these conversations. But we're sitting here all the way at 12 and telling a team that went 11-1 in the group of 5 conference that, like, nah, that's not enough. And putting in multiple teams with worse records than them.
You're going to be surprised by them numbers, buddy. Drew going to give you the numbers. Drew Bacchus going to give you the numbers.
Numbers aren't everything.
You're going to be surprised by the numbers.
You would think numbers being wins would be some of those, but evidently those aren't as important.
Penguin, do you think maybe this is not their intention? I don't think this would be the intention of the College Football Playoff Committee, because it does change every year. But do you think the result of their results is going to speak volumes to people scheduling at a conference? Is you do have to find that happy medium of challenging yourself if you're going to lose a game, right? A 12-0 Northwestern team or 13-0 Northwestern team is a different scenario than 11-1 left out of his college football playoff championship. And so if he goes out,
I don't disagree with that.
Will this maybe speak volumes to, hey, if you're not going to run the table, I don't care what conference you play in, you're going to have to find the happy medium of playing someone good at a conference, because Northwestern didn't, right? And so they don't, like you talked about, Penguin, is that we have a lot of these 12, 13, 14, 15 teams. Let's take Tennessee out, because they did challenge themselves at a conference, right? They beat the Mountain West Conference champion. They played the number 2 team in the nation. But if you take Tennessee out of it, none of the other teams really challenge themselves at a conference. And so
if Utah's 2 losses were tough non-conference games they had scheduled, I would feel completely different.
100%. That's what. And so I'm saying maybe the statement to take away from this may be, hey, that was the biggest difference maker this year, was the out of conference scheduling. And you've got to win, but you got to find that happy medium, right? Tennessee maybe doesn't go play Clemson. Maybe they go play a mid team in the ACC and they beat them. Maybe that's the difference in the whole thing. You know, they obviously go out and challenge themselves to play Clemson, but like Jiggy brought up in the chat, is if he wins that game, that vaults him up into the top 10, right? And that bumps Clemson all the way down. Who knows where they would land, but no, Vic, we really appreciate you being on the show. I know these are always tough questions, and obviously it's easy for us to armchair your guys' decision in that college football playoff. But like Pat brought up, is there's a lot of personalities in there and a lot of opinions, and it can always be tough to come to a conclusion. We completely understand that. And so we really appreciate you being on the committee and volunteering your time. You guys don't get paid anything for that. So we really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. It was fun. Like I said, it was fun. Those meetings were very fun. I loved it.
You know, they're more, as much as we chipper in the live chat, Vic, I don't know, maybe I'll ask Drew too. They're like, ours was, maybe it's because we had such an easy road to make the playoff, but there was just like, it was very like healthy discussion, you know, which is really nice. And, I'm sure that's how it went with you guys too, but that was a bit surprised. I thought, you know, maybe someone would be hard headed in there, and everyone kind of agreed at the end of the day.
Yeah, we kind of came to a conclusion. Like, you know, we butted heads on some stuff, but I mean, after a while, you kind of look at stuff and was like, you know what, you're right.
Yeah, we really appreciated Vic coming on the show this morning. You can stick around and give your insights on the college football games when we talk about the 4 matchups that we'll see first. And next, we're going to bring on a NDL convention fan favorite, Mr. Drew Bacca. How are you doing today, Drew?
Boys, what's up? Good, good. A little wet here in the Northeast, but we're happy to be on game day. My NDL media virginity being taken by you fellas. I can't think of a better crew.
Man, we really appreciate that. I just want to point out this morning that Pat just came to realization that is actually your face transposed on a Chewbacca's body. And so Pat's just realizing that this morning, which is pretty fun.
Some guys are better than me at the AI thing, but I'm not a Photoshop guy. So all credit to AI for taking my instructions and putting my face beautifully on a Chewbacca. Gotta love it.
And Drew, so tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came about the NDL gaming experience, what season you came in, and how you enjoyed so far.
Yeah, dude. So season 29 came into the NDL with the new game. Actually found this by a post Nidler made on the college football subreddit. And as soon as I saw it, I said, I got to get on that. From the Northeast, you know, college football isn't quite the cultural thing up here that it is in the South. So I have plenty of friends that play the game, but nobody plays it or takes the game as serious or as passionately as me. So when I found a group like this and what you guys had going on, it was exactly what I was looking for, and there was no way I wasn't getting in on that. So put my application in as soon as I saw Nidler's open invitation.
Drew, thanks for joining us this morning. It's a pleasure to hear your melodic voice again.
Thanks, Penguin.
Now, the obvious question here, what is, explain the origin to us of Akka and the, being incorporated into your name. What, where does that all come from? Is it a nickname or?
Well, it's kind of a self-monikered one. I have several nicknames amongst friend groups, but none of them really flow or make sense. I guess it all ended up because one day my wife decided that I should get an Instagram, and I was trying to come up with an Instagram name, and the first three or four things I had tried all turned out to have somebody else have already taken that, so I landed on Drew Baca. And then when I had to make a Discord profile to join the NDL, I thought it would work well with the group. So that's how we landed on Drew Baca for these purposes.
It's very similar to my naming origin story as well. Very nice. Well, we'll jump right into a couple tough questions here. Obviously, these last couple seeds, the last seed specifically, we've got a little bit of contention over here.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about Utah versus Tennessee, Utah versus Northwestern, and then heard a case being made for USC. Explain to me in your terms, or however you want to put it, why that, you know, that strength of schedule is that much more important than a team that we're talking teams that have different records here. So I understand the strength of schedule being a tipping factor if we're saying both teams won the same number of games. But why does strength of schedule evidently matter that much more when you're comparing teams that did not win the same number of games?
Sure. So I'm gonna take that question. I'm going to put one thing in front of it and get to that. So I just want to start off by touching on what you guys ended with Vic on and just talking about being on the committee, right? It was awesome, dude. I had so much fun. And the reason I thought it was amazing is, like, the NDL purposes specifically, it paralleled to real life in that you had to be willing to eat a piece of humble pie. And especially, like, when we got into the Oregon debate, like, we spent 10 minutes on that 7, 8, 9 last night. And for the first 8 minutes of it, everybody was deadlocked in their position. Finally, 6 came around. He's like, all right, well, we got 3 and 3. What are we going to do, boys? And that's where everybody kind of started to agree to disagree. And we came to a number that we thought we could at least put some stats, whatever you, some reasoning behind that would hold water with the rest of you. So there's a lot to this, right? I think to answer your question is very hard. And one of the big things that I have written down here, and I think it's a discussion that's had in real life, is strength of schedule is very hard when you have, just like they're talking about in real life right now with the 5+11 model or 4-4-2-2-1 model. Schedules aren't balanced. Conferences aren't balanced. College football is not currently created equally. So strength of schedule is a metric that we use. It's a metric that they use as well, but something that is being talked about and I would love to see is a strength of record metric, because strength of schedule can change drastically throughout the season. Strength of record can too, but strength of record will tell you more of how you performed against that expected schedule rather than just how hard your schedule was based on the data. So I'll tell you, I had Tennessee as my number 10 seed in the playoff, and I would take any heat on that, but I think there's reason that you could justify them being there. So I'll come out and say I wasn't one of the ones to have Utah in there, but I was able to accept people's reasonings for why and agree that I would act that as Utah being our number 12 team. So I'm not sure if I fully answer your question, but it's one of those things where it's with a committee of seven people and no very specific metrics, there's going to be a lot of subjectivity, and you have to come to an agreement. So we did, and I know some people don't like it. Some people will. Some people can understand it even if they don't like it. It just is what it is.
Two out of seven people on the committee, though, not wanting Utah, and I would love to hear what the other four had to say about it, or five, excuse me, math is hard.
So, and here's something that I'll touch on. Like, this is something that I wrote down that I've thought about. This is the angle where I think you start to talk about these lower teams. So let's talk about how FAU ended up at number eight. And not just FAU, but in general for the CFP, your group of five team. To me, they're your linchpin. You have to put in the G5 team somewhere, but usually you're going to have everybody ahead of the G5 team seems logical. Once you put your G5 team ranked in there, for me, now you get into that whole totally merit based off of your resume versus you start to project a little bit, right? Because once you put that G5 team in there, now you get into that whole, well, anybody ranked after them, if FAU played them, you know, USC, Utah, Texas Tech on a neutral field, are they actually going to win? So, like, there's that natural projection that enters the conversation versus just going off of the resume. And for me, that's where it's hard. Like, some people didn't agree with Texas at number four, thought Notre Dame maybe deserved that spot. Maybe it's, you know, Notre Dame four, Texas five, Colorado. But the top six teams, in my opinion, we all agreed on the top six last night. Maybe we didn't all agree 4 seed, 5 seed, 6 seed. But once you hit that Oregon and FAU, specifically that G5 team, that's where your inflection point in your rankings comes for me, because once your G5 ranks, now you allow subjectivity to enter it. To me, it seems like if it's all Power 4 teams, people may not like where they're ranked or agree, but the end all is, well, they're a Power 4 team, you know, it makes sense. But G5 enters the conversation. Anybody following that, it's like cannon fodder. You're fair game for anybody to denigrate why you're there and say somebody else deserved it. So that's really where, like, I was fine 1 through 6, but, you know, you talk about 10 through 12, I'd argue 7 through 12 was, you know, not easy.
I gotta interject. You gotta tell the story of the how we got to the 8-9 matchup.
Yeah, so, and so that's, yeah, so Ass talked about it. Penguin brought it up too. Like, Mitty tries to be totally objective and just go off the resume. Now, obviously, that's not all of it. You can't, the top teams, it's okay. You get to the bottom, the resumes get murky. And so that's where you do. You start the whole projection game. You try to leave your biases out of it. But there was a couple people that stood completely firm on, well, FAU has the better resume than Oregon. And I 100% agree. And I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate. I don't know where you start that middle ground of, yeah, but talent composite matters too, right? Just because Oregon played a weak schedule doesn't mean that they're not still a talented team. And this whole, the conversation is so hard because it's, are we doing the best teams or most deserving teams? FAU is still one of our best teams this season, most deserving, but they're not probably the eighth best team. But they're one of the best teams who also deserves that. So some people could not move off of that. Others of us thought G5 team probably should be a little lower. But at the end of the day, I guess what we came down to was when we rank this, we ended up with FAU 8, Missouri 9. They were going to have to play each other anyway. So we kind of just decided, well, if they're going to end up playing each other, we'll give the hat tip to FAU on a pretty stellar season. So it was kind of that whole give and take of the committee where some people said, yeah, I'll roll with that. So FAU got the higher seed based off of, you know, strong convictions and a willingness to recognize, you know, a pretty damn good season by Jumper.
And Drew, I got a couple follow-ups I want to throw in there.
Sure.
Now, Tennessee, I get Tennessee over Utah as a point. I understand that argument, even though I personally definitely would not put Tennessee in. But still, explain to me where the juice comes for the argument for Tennessee if you remove... Let's say Tennessee versus Utah. If we're looking at those schedules and we take the losses out, just the games they won, where... And the same... let me back this up. The same for any of these teams we're debating about. If we remove the games that they actually lost, because those were almost all versus good teams, these schedules really still match up in the way that it makes sense to for Utah to be in over these two? Or is this a case where you say no, that rest of that SEC schedule is enough, in your opinion, that should have boosted Tennessee over Utah?
Yeah, I'm not even... So I don't... This is where it gets hard, right? It's and so the, you know, even from six, the committee ahead, there is a point where when you get down, and this is where I'm not calling it contentious, but these were debating points as well, right? When you get down to these final teams, it is acceptable to start taking into account not just their resume, but team talent and the coach as well. So there is an aspect there, and some people did touch on that, right? Because when you start the, well, is Utah really a better team than Tennessee? If Tennessee played Utah today, who wins? And so that, for those last few teams, and I would say specifically Tennessee and Utah, because we all, you know, maybe which seed, maybe not, but we all agree that Texas Tech was in. So I'm glad you're talking Tennessee, Utah, because that really is two teams to debate. Now, it's interesting because I actually wrote down, for me, Utah, Northwestern really should come back in. To me, I love the in real life comparison as well. Northwestern is last year's Indiana, if you ask me. Now, if they had gone to the Big Ten championship game instead of Iowa, Northwestern becomes last year's SMU. So there's interesting conversations there because I actually hate this about real life. I think Indiana belonged there last year just because of most deserving, best team, whatever. There's the mix there. But when they got in, then you get all these people that start saying, well, they don't belong there. They're going to lose. Nobody would, you know, in odds-making world, pick Indiana to beat Notre Dame. Why do they play the games then, right? So same type of thing here. Like, you play the schedule you play. There's a lot more to it. Should Northwestern have been in over Tennessee even at 11-1 versus 9-3? You know, there's that you are what your record says you are thing, but we all know that that's like a fool's errand at this point. So I had Tennessee in at number 10 personally. And, you know, when we're all said and done here, I'm going to share my Google sheet with everybody to be objective and show exactly what I was thinking. Even Iowa State comes into play. It's interesting. You know, you ended up taking a late season loss to Kansas State. Now, Utah lost to you anyway, but before Utah lost to you, before you lost to Kansas State, that loss to you was looking better for Utah. And conversely, that win against you was making Texas case even stronger. So Utah got further hurt by you losing to Kansas State and them losing to you, whereas Texas Tech didn't really suffer because they still beat you, even though that win for them maybe became a little bit less. So there really are, like, you know, Pat said earlier, they've poured through more data than I have. We all have different opinions, but when I poured through the data, they were too close. And so I did take more into account the coach, the team talent, what they demonstrated to be their ceiling, you know, during the regular season against some of those better teams. I personally had Utah out. They were my number 13, last team in. I actually had Tennessee at number 10 over FAU. It was my personal number 11 in my overall ranking. So, again, it was more of the group overall. It was my agree to disagree moment. I do think Utah should have been out in favor of somebody else. For me, it was Tennessee. But
I think you're
9-3.
Yeah. your point there on Utah is stuff I exactly agree with. I agree that the loss, my loss, hurt them, I think should have hurt them more than it did. So I definitely think I'm on the same page with theirs, Utah. What murders me mentally, and that makes me want to lose my mind, and this happens in real life too, but you just alluded to it and said it happens in the committee here too, is that when we get to the very end, we change the rule. Yes. We start bringing in things that didn't matter before, and we bring them in now. That blows my mind and makes my blood boil. When we're changing the rules in the middle of the game, I can say nothing good about that. I understand it's the way it is and some of the reason, but it's lunacy.
It's okay. And so I think that's a big thing for, you know, in real life and even here. You know, we keep throwing out all these different metrics that we're looking at, and there's just not a very, again, college football is not created equally, so the metrics aren't going to be equal. And something, you know, I'd love to have a conversation with somebody in here who's a numbers guy, a couple people that are numbers guys. I know Andy's good with numbers, but I'd love it to see a strength of record or something that more defines how that person actually performed against their schedule, not just strength of schedule. Because even Colorado, you know, Colorado beat Texas Tech. Texas Tech was winning that game till late. You know, if Texas Tech pulls that one out of over Colorado, they didn't. You know, ultimately that's why they ended up where they were. But like, there's even those little things where you lose. You know, you see a box score, you see stats, you see metrics, but if you don't see all these games, you lose those little things about, well, that team's probably a little stronger than you actually think they are. Yeah, they lost to Colorado, but that's a one score game, and they were up two touchdowns, I think, in the fourth, maybe it was the third. But either way, those are those little things where, like, you do have to spend a lot more time looking into it and then conversing with people. And that's really what makes the committee important and hard. And so the whole way the tune changes and the rules for how we come up with 10 for 12 versus 1 through 6, it is very hard because it's the whole best versus most deserving. And their record is how people come to the most deserving conclusion, whereas the game film and stats, metrics, whatever you want to call it, are how you arrive at the best teams. So the eye test is a favorite thing for the committee in real life. Like, ooh, that's it's really hard, and like those. They do. They get really close. The profiles at the end, like, I feel like you have to. It's hard when you're discussing 11-1 versus 9-3. You know, if you played in the NBA at an 82 game schedule, 60-22 isn't that much different than 58-24. But in college football, it's massively different. But can you maybe take the record numbers out of it for a second and look at everything else, you know, the whole blind thing, right? It's not just the team logo. For me, it's also the record in a way, because, again, college football is not created equally. You cannot compare the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big Ten to the Big 12 in terms of strength of schedule. They don't compute. So there is always going to be, in my opinion, level of projection there. And that's not the committee's fault. That's baked into the way the structure is currently built. And so that's where I land on that. Like, it is a no-win situation for the committee, because you have to decide. But you know, I mean, we all said, even if you pick your metric and position to stand on, each one of us was able to say, okay, there's a hole in my reasoning here. But again, we have to come to something. So what do you put more weight into, et cetera? You know, I think just like in real life, more weight is put into the apparent power of the SEC versus even the Big Ten, right? A Big Ten schedule is still hard, but by and large, people don't view it as hard as an SEC schedule, et cetera. So some of us disagree, but Utah got it. I mean, and I will say this, right? So Northwestern versus Utah, some people might have thought Northwestern's best win was Wisconsin. I look at Wisconsin and Indiana very similarly when I look at their schedules and how the season played out. So you could almost make the case that Northwestern's best win is Indiana. And if you go and look at the schedules, Utah also happened to play Indiana and beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got 10-2, 11-1, and you have a common opponent. Well, I mean, they both beat them, but you can't then punish Utah for, like, they played a big team and beat them. Northwestern played a big schedule, beat everybody but one. I don't know. It's, again, I'm going to share my reasoning so everybody can see, and I'd love to have people come back at me. I have no problem with that, because if I ever get to be on committee again, it'll only help me make a better opinion next time. And I'll tell you, there's, I'm going to release it exactly as is so that everybody could see exactly my thoughts, but listening to PTD yesterday, listening to any of the shows, talking with, you know, the committee in between meetings, there is just so much to consider here that people probably don't realize or think about until you're in that spot, that my opinion can change 1 hour to the next based on just something somebody remembers from even watching the game. So it's hard, man. I don't know what else to say.
I hear you. Yeah. There's definitely a lot to consider. And I got to say, I agree with 99% of what you're saying. I definitely do. I think it's well thought out. You made some great points. It's that changing of the parameters, reasoning in there, just murders me at the end of the day. You know what? I can't get past that. Pat, you got anything to bring in?
No, just appreciate you coming on, Drew, and appreciate you being on the committee. Just like I said to Vic, it's a thankless job. You take time out of your day. There's always going to be debates over the last teams in any damn tournament. Look at the March Madness. They got 68 teams in there, and they got guys bitching for 90 minutes at each other why the 69th team didn't get in. Like, it's just a part of it. At the end of the day, win your games in the regular season. Like our top seeds, you don't have to worry about this shit.
That's true. Hey, I will say this. Jiggy brought it up earlier. I wanted to touch on what he brought up because I thought it was an interesting point. But so I brought up, you know, last year's Indiana real life example, et cetera, SMU. You know, SMU lost to Clemson in the title game and then still got in when people thought 9-3 Alabama should have got in. So I kind of use that as a parallel for a 11-1 Northwestern who didn't go versus a 9-3 Tennessee. Probably is better. You know, like, it's just, it is, I think it's awesome how we try to be sim, and there is enough sim going on here to where we can, like, try to use the real life things that have happened as compelling arguments in here. But now what happens with the 16 team? Are we going to get a 5 plus 11 or a 4-4-2-2-1? Whatever happens is going to be interesting, but it will be, you kind of have the 5-11 type thing right now, just less teams, but that 4-4... Whoever's on committee when this changes, it's going to be interesting how the conversations of ranking these teams changes. Like, I don't know what that's going to look like, but it would be fun to be on a committee that maybe has a 4-4-2-2-1 model to see how that changes things. Because maybe, you know, that probably makes it easier. You know, if you're in a 16-team model, but 13 of your 16 are locked in, it was a lot easier for us to get into the seeding portion, right? And then, like, defining that once you decided who is in. When you have 13 and 16 decided for you, it kind of takes away some of this hate for the committee, because the whole deciding of that is out of their hands. And I think that is one of the great things about it, right? If you have, even if you don't agree with the auto bid model, putting the ability to gain entry to the playoff back on the field here entirely versus 50% of the teams getting in almost entirely being at the opinion of the committee, I think it's, one, going to make it a lot more fun because that puts more weight in the games and, you know, it's a lot more watchability into it versus pontificating in the chat and then waiting to see what the committee themselves came up with at the end. So, interested to see what other people think about that, but I'll put out there for now, I'm a kind of a proponent in real life of this new 4-4-2-2-1 because I think it'll just create for better college football overall.
Which we're all big fan of, big matchups in college football. Drew Baca, we really appreciate you coming on to the Game Day show this morning. Loved your perspective. I loved hearing that It shows the real life aspect of this college football playoff is that they definitely don't agree on everything, which we obviously can tell from our chat, our live chat, as well as on game days. We don't always agree with each other either. And that's the best part about this college football playoff. I did just throw up the committee members. A lot of them are in the chat. So if you guys maybe don't know when they're typing in there, they're probably giving some of their perspective. We have Coach Beercop, Coach C Nasty, Drew Baca, Football Kelly, Null 26, Vic, and Vic Tim were the committee members this year. I mean, take your time out and just tell them thank you. It's obviously we can nitpick all the things and we can come up with our own conclusions on who should have been in, who should have been out. But I know us game day guys, we talk about it all the time. They have a very tough task of making those decisions, right? It's one thing to be able to sit on here and argue back and forth about who should be in, who should be out. But what they do is amazing, and we all really appreciate it. So, Drew, stick on the show with us. You'll be able to do some pick'ems right now. We're going to jump in. I'm going to go through the player awards just real quick. We aren't going to go through each one, but I'm just going to throw them up on the screen here for you guys to see. These are all the big awards. The award voting got closed yesterday. If you don't partake in that, you should. A lot of time gets spent into that. The All-American lists, first and second team, will be released next week. And so be on the lookout for that. As you can tell, obviously, NDL contributions to college football was the Niddler. He kind of runs everything, keeps everybody in order. Thankless job there. Doesn't get enough credit for that. And as you can tell, all these other awards, they're up in the Discord under an NDL announcement. They'll also be put up on the website. And you got the different, I mean, you could save these, do whatever you want with these pictures, but homie put up other pictures for all the different awards. Obviously, the big Heisman winner this year was Phil Moffle, which we hit on already during the show, Heisman winner, with Shedeur Sanders taking home a couple of the awards, as well as Jalen Shuler. So next up, we're going to jump into the matchups and the pick'ems, and I'll just go with you first, Penguin. In your first matchup here on the screen, we have, we'll just start from left to right, is Notre Dame at LSU. Who do you have and why?
Well, I want to pick Mike for a few reasons and Notre Dame, but no, it's going to be LSU. I think LSU is going to be hungry. They're going to be motivated. Sure, they're going to have to go on the road here, but I think they've got a lot to prove. Just as talented. It's that same team, that same coach that we know can get it all done. I think their repeat revenge tour begins in this game.
It is a rematch actually from I believe either a quarterfinal game last year or the playoff. At LSU, it's just a better player. Maybe at this point, I would be absolutely shocked if Notre Dame won. The big thing we did talk about that might keep Notre Dame in the game is that ball control and that home field. But LSU has just got too much speed, I think, for Notre Dame, and I got LSU in that one.
And what about you, Vic?
The LSU speed will be the difference. I got LSU over Notre Dame.
Make that four. LSU 10-2. Lost to Ole Miss 20-14. Lost to Bama 49-43. You can't play closer games with a 1-2 team. LSU has the talent. Notre Dame deserves credit. I've been watching their games. They are a very reliable, low mistake team, but I think LSU is too talented.
Yeah, this one's tough for me. Rain's in the chat talking about how bad he got his butt whooped last time he played him. Man, I got to go with LSU, too. Too much talent, a home state team for me down here in Louisiana. And so I got to go with Coach Bucknut and LSU. I think the game's going to be close, but I got LSU winning. We'll just move on to the Texas game. Penguin, you can introduce the next game after that, the Florida game, and then Pat, you can talk about Ole Miss, Utah. But we have Texas and Texas Tech playing each other. Obviously, Texas being the home team here, an in-state rivalry or of sorts, I guess, an in-state game matchup, not necessarily a rivalry, but Texas and Texas Tech. Well, who do you got, Penguin?
I think it's going to be the Longhorns, but I think it's going to be a super close game. I think we're going to need to see a game-winning drive from the Longhorns to decide this one, as the Red Raiders will give a good account of themselves. I want to pick them, but it's just too hard to go against Texas having a bit more talent and the championship pedigree.
Boy, I hate to be negative here, but I think Texas wins by 35, and he might be up by 35 in the beginning of the third quarter. It's going to be ugly. I've played Wilds. He's awesome. He loves to throw the ball. He throws the ball in tight windows against guys like me that can't use her for a damn. You got a guy like Jiggy, who's top three user in the league on defense. It's a recipe for a disaster. Terrible matchup for the guy.
Yeah, what about you, Vic?
I agree with Pat there. Texas Tech loves the pass. Jiggy loves to defend the pass. One of the top three users in the league, like you said. I don't think he's going to get 35, but he's going to be up big in the fourth quarter. I'm going with Texas.
4 for 4, I think. Compared to Wiles, like you said, he loves to throw and he's good at it. If he comes out with a strong game plan and is disciplined with the ball, limits turnovers, he'll probably keep it close, like Penguin said. But I just don't see the Texas Tech defense being able to stop Texas enough to outscore them. So give me Texas.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think Texas pulls away in the second half and cruises to dominant fashion there, as they could have easily, obviously, if it wasn't for the way the seeding works, they could have been a top four seed in the college football playoff. We'll move on to this next matchup. Go ahead, Penguin.
Wilds, make me look smart. Come on, don't get skunked in that game. All right, jumping in, we've got Missouri and FAU. And this, I really don't know off the rip which way to feel about this, because there's definitely part of me say that Missouri speed at wide receiver, running back, the efficiency of the quarterback, that they could score 100 points in this game versus that FAU defense. But FAU got home crowd, and I'm sure they'll have a record attendance for this game, and an offense that we know can put up college basketball numbers against a Missouri defense that honestly is certainly the weakest link that they have on that roster. In that, I think it's a fun game, but I think Missouri pulls away in the second half.
Easily the game I'm looking forward to the most in the first round. I think it'll be closer than the experts think. I think Mizzou does pull away in the second half because of the running game. I doubt that FAU can really stop a nosebleed when it comes to the run. And of course, Kempa, another coach that's not really talked about in here, three straight playoff appearances in our playoff. But one thing where FAU can hang, I'm pretty sure Missouri's defense is rated like as bad can be in the game. And so maybe he has a puncher's chance of just whatever team is on, you know, race to 50 or something like that. That's his only chance of winning.
Race to 70.
Yeah, there was a lot closer in the over-under. I think it was like a half a point. What do you have, Vic?
I actually got the upset in this one. I got FAU. I got FAU. He has a strong, strong offense. He can go toe-to-toe user-wise with almost anybody with that team. And it's been showing in the Beefy Cup. I know we don't, you know, talk about the Beefy Cup too much, but it's showing in the Beefy Cup. He can stand toe-to-toe with anybody and put up points against anybody. I think MJ Kemp is an underrated user, but I got FAU in this one. All 12,000 fans will be up rowdy for that game. But I got FAU in the upset.
Boy, I'll go Missouri, but, you know, Penguin said the race to 70, I think he's closer than anything else. I mean, both of these teams are going to score. Missouri scores 40 plus a game. I think FAU was higher than that, almost 50 a game. But who can stop who? I don't know if anybody's going to, but you got a really bad defense over there at FAU and a not so good SEC defense at Mizzou. But at the end of the day, I still think that the SEC carries the league name and advances to play Bama. Give me Mizzou.
Yeah, I'm with you guys for all the same points. I think Missouri's running game is going to be the difference in the game. I think it's going to be close. Lots of points are going to be scored. The game's going to be separated itself probably in the late third, fourth quarter with the running attack.
Playoff seed wise, I just want to touch on that real quick. Like, I like that. I like that we were rewarded FAU with a higher seed. You know, I know that they would have played an even "quote unquote" tougher team in Ole Miss had they been a 12 seed or a 6 seed, you know, 11 seed. But
you didn't tell the full story about that 8-9 matchup. The full story is when we was debating Oregon, FAU, and Missouri. Once we got to the Oregon part at number 7, the hot debate was, well, if Missouri and FAU played each other, and their most common win is Charlotte. And if they played each other, and then we say, you know what, forget it, they're going to play each other.
I know, that's what they were going to be locked in there either way. I don't think they were going to fall below 9, but I like seeing them there rather than at 12, because I think that we took the time to recognize a great G5 team who deserves some recognition, not just saying, well, they're a fucking G5 team, they should be 11. Come on. But hey, now they have to go out and prove that they really belong by beating 2 SEC teams in a row if they want to advance out of their region. So I like seeing them up there to give them credit, but also now they really got to go out and earn it. If they do, goddamn, look out for Jumper in the future, because it gets a better team, we're going to have a lot of people in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So the next game, guys, I got a tee time. Let's get this moving. We got Ole Miss playing Utah. I'm just going to jump right into it. Another game that I think might be lopsided, maybe not a 35 point that I guessed earlier, but I think Ole Miss wins by 17, 21 points. Hosting the game, Utah should not be in the playoff. I'll just tell both you guys that are on, and I'll tell the whole playoff committee, I don't understand why Utah's in the playoff, but you know, I'm not on that committee. I would have sat there. We would have met until 3 in the morning until he was not in the playoffs. I guess so. He has zero reason to be in there. He lost his only 2 tough games at the end of the season, not playing good football. Give me Ole Miss by 21.
I just want to jump in here. Vegas is in the chat, and he just stole my thunder here. Is that the committee? We love you guys, but man, you deprive the NDL of a Vegas Smitty matchup right now if you had just plugged in Tennessee at the 12th seed. Just got to say that.
You got to take rivalries into account, boys.
Oh, man, that would have been good TV. I'll tell you what, that would have been great TV. They could have both been on BB&B too, after.
Drew can account for this. Tennessee, like I said, I don't, you know, it ended up being what it ended up being, but Tennessee was in that 12 spot for a good while.
A long time. They were there longer than they weren't, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Give me Ole Miss. There's no question. End of story. Ole Miss. That's
gotta
go.
Yeah, we're going to make this quick for past tea time. Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss is winning this one big.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, sure. So, y'all just gave, let's put it this way. Y'all just gave Marion, was just given a lifeline. So, I don't know. Smitty, but that makes me a little nervous in predicting this as well.
It's appointment viewing, let's put it that way.
The home field advantage is such a big deal in the first round. You know, I think Notre Dame will keep it a little tighter with LSU than the last time they played last year because of that. Texas is going to, I already said it. Now he's at home too. Get out of here. FAU having a home game is massive. And then just like, I think if Ole Miss was at Utah, maybe the game would stay tight, but it's just not going to be pretty.
Utah has a quarterback that's impervious to home field effects. So, I mean, you got that.
I've played with him, and he's murdered more worms in the Salt Lake City area than any quarterback I've ever played with.
Well, there you have it. Hey, Drew Baca and Vic, I really want to appreciate you guys coming on the show and all you other committee members that are listening. Just know the Game Day crew truly appreciates everything you guys do. We've had one of our own on the committee, and we said the same to him. No matter what we say on here about disagreeing with you guys about the Utah pick, we still appreciate everything you do, and long 100%. Live the NDL here. I really appreciate you guys listening. This will be the last show of Game Day until the release of 2026 comes out. So stay tuned for all the new things that are going to be coming on Game Day. I know I broke some news before the show. We will be going to cameras next year is the hope, just like BB&B brought on some inspiration there.
Appreciate you having me on, boys. It was a great time.
I appreciate everything. We'll be right back.